If only I could go back and change some things. Set things straight.
I wish I had a do-over.
I've made choices. I've lost out. I've wished 1,000 times I could go back and try again.
It's hard not to imagine what might have been.
If I had just stopped to think.
If I had just done as I was told.
If I hadn't thought I knew it all.
Why didn't I just take a few deep breaths?
Took 1 second to listen.
Maybe my life would be better.
Maybe there wouldn't be such a high price to pay.
Things would be different now.
I wouldn't have so many regrets.
But is everything lost?
Can I just get a do-over?
Is there a way back to new beginnings?
Because regret can mean a new beginning.
When it's given to the one who produces a repentance.
A repentance that delivers me from my grief.
The one who takes my mistakes.
And somehow redeems me through them.
Who tells me I'm not the sum total of all my regrets?
He tells me not to look back.
Because there's nothing there to see.
I am not my mistakes.
He is faithful and just to forgive me.
I just have to ask him.
And then I can look straight forward.
Forget what is behind me.
And strain towards what is ahead.
And walk away with all regrets erased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Every day I'm given a clean slate.
A clean slate?
I get a clean slate.
I love that scripture that was on there. His love never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I'm so glad for a clean slate this morning as we hear this first Sunday after Easter. It's good morning. Amen? Amen. How many are glad that your Savior is alive today? Amen. I want to thank our praise and worship team for just setting the atmosphere. It's because of who he is that we give him glory. But a lot of times, you know, we can get caught into the habit of praising God for what he's done. But God wants us to get in a habit of praising him for who he is. Amen? Amen. We serve a great and mighty God who's worthy of our praise and our adoration in spite of, even though in life, gives us some heartache, some rough times. God's still on the throne and he's worthy. And one of the things that I'm so excited about is because of what that video just said, because I got a clean slate. How many of you ever felt and asked, Lord God, can I get a do-over? Anybody ever made a mistake? Just looked at that board and all of those sorrow, guilt, lust, pride, all of that. And I'm so glad for what Jesus did on Calvary. We celebrate Good Friday and then what he did on Easter morning because he's alive. And we're so thankful for that today as we start this Sunday after Easter and to begin to walk in the newness of life that God has made available to us. Once again, for those of you online, if you just jumped on, welcome to Encounter Life Church. For those of you who are here as well, please be sure to let us know if you're a guest or let us know some way that God has spoken to you this morning through the Word of God by going to our Connect form at encounterchurch.net/next. Amen. This series, this morning, we're on our last week. It'll be really like our fourth week on the fourth stop on our road to redemption. If we could put that graphic up there on the screen, the road to redemption. We started this series. This is off week four, and we started with Peter's denial, and we looked at how Peter denied Christ as we looked before Easter. And then the first stop on the road to redemption started with a denial, and denial required there to be a death to cover the denial. So our second stop was the week before Easter was the death. Well, Peter denied Christ just like we have denied him. All of us are guilty of that. That's why Jesus had to come, because man denied God and we chose to do our own thing. And because Peter denied Christ and because we denied God and his plan and his purpose for our lives, there required a death that was stopped too. And then we talked about what Jesus went through to purchase your redemption, and we said it was a done deal. Somebody say it's a done deal. that when he died on Calvary, that he did away with death and he did away with our sin. And it's a done deal. When he said it is finished, he came and he took care and he fulfilled what he came to do. And he paid for our sins. And we looked at that. And then we talked about the death. Then we talked about the denial and then the death. And then on Easter morning, we looked at a dynamic resurrection. Yes, he died. He says, dying, he saved me. Living, he loved me. He rose to justify me, to make me right with God because he's alive. And we looked at what it means for him to be alive. We talked about the resurrection and Easter, and we talk about Easter, and our kids talk about Easter. But what significance does that have for me today? And we use the acronym ALIVE, and we talk about how we can anticipate eternity. We can anticipate heaven because of what Christ has done. But also, we can also walk in freedom in this life. We can anticipate heaven, but he's loosened the bonds of sin. We don't have to give in to sin anymore. Sin has no more hold on us. Amen? So we looked about what that means to be alive last week. And last week was as we looked at the dynamic resurrection. And today we're going to go right back to Peter in John chapter 21. We're going to talk about Peter. I mean, that's why that video was so amazing, because Peter, I can imagine Peter probably felt, man, I wish I had a do-over. Peter denied Jesus Christ when he had told Jesus, I promise you, Jesus, look, if everybody else turns their back on you, I'm your man. I'm going to be with you. And Peter flaked out. Peter denied Jesus when he first, and he had an opportunity, the little servant girl, he denied him in front of a servant girl who had no status or no social standing. He was so afraid because he wasn't prepared. He didn't have what was in him to cause him to stand, that he denied Christ. And so Peter, last week, as we looked at that resurrection, I thought it was amazing how the angel told them, look, go tell the disciples and Peter. That he specifically mentioned Peter's name, because I want to let you know, Peter, I'm still not done with you. And I'm here today. I said it last week. All of us have denied Christ in some way. Somebody might be here this morning. You might be watching online, and you're still beating yourself up for something that you did yesterday, last year, last month, and figured, look, God, can you still use me? And I'm here to tell you that God is able to give you a do-over. Amen? Amen. In golf, anybody plays golf, it's called a mulligan. Sometimes you get anybody golfers, anybody play golf in here? Amen. And Brother Marvin knows, sometimes you can take a mulligan. I mean, hold up, that's like a do-over. That stroke didn't count. But I praise God that God can give you a do-over. And look, I gave the message the title this morning, Bounce Back. Because sometimes when you fall and you feel like you can never get back, God want to let you know that, look, you can bounce back. And today we're going to look in John chapter 21 and see. The angel asked for Peter last week. He said, Peter, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm looking for him. And Jesus now in John 21, after he had risen from the dead, he comes back and he shows himself to Peter and the disciples. And today we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you three keys for your bounce back today, whatever area it is. You might feel like, look, I dropped the ball in my marriage. I dropped the ball morally. I dropped the ball in some area, aspect of my life. I've disappointed God, and you're wallowing in guilt today. God does not want you to stay there. He wants you to move forward. And because of what Christ did in Calvary, you can get a do-over. You can get a clean slate today. Aren't you glad that you can get not just a clean slate today? Every day a clean slate is available to us. Amen? Can you turn, if you will, in your Bible to John chapter 21? John chapter 21. We prayed earlier. We already opened in prayer. We're going to go right to John 21. And I think we're going to go through the first 17 verses of John 21, if you will. Just bear with me as we look at John 21. This is after Jesus had already risen from the grave. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there are so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. jumped into the water and headed to shore. The other stayed with the boat and pulled the load into the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've got just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And then after breakfast, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Verse 18, "I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you like. You dressed yourself and went everywhere you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen. At this point, Jesus had already risen from the dead, and the disciples were out there going fishing. And they were out there, the Savior was gone, and I'm pretty sure they were wondering, what do we do next? And Jesus appears to the disciples as they were out there fishing and doing what they normally did. And I thought it's very interesting, because if we go back and look at how this all started, if you go back and look in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34, where Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him. And then Luke 22, 54 through 62, Peter denied Jesus. And I can imagine, how does it feel to you when you know you're wrong? Anybody ever done something and you know you're wrong? And maybe you've done something against somebody and you know you're wrong, and then you have to come around them again. How does that make you feel? And you wonder, I wonder how they thinking. Y'all haven't talked. Has there ever been a time where y'all had you had an altercation, or you disappointed somebody, or somebody's done something against you, and then y'all paths haven't crossed. Y'all go different ways, and then all of a sudden you run into them somewhere. Has that ever happened to you? Can I give an illustration? That's happened to me one time. I'm gonna be honest. There was somebody that I had done something to. And something I completely forgot about. Can I tell you what it is? I owed somebody some money. Amen. Can I just tell my truth? I owed somebody some money. I forgot that I had not paid this person the money until I was at the grocery store. And I'm in the grocery store and I saw, oh, snap. I owe this person some money. Can I tell y'all what I did? I went in another aisle. I'm just being honest, because I'm saying it was a while. So like sometimes, have you ever done something and you forgot, and then time passes and you forget until you see that person? Time had passed. And I said, oh my goodness, I hadn't paid this person. And I'm like, oh, and I ain't got the money right now. So let me slide up out this grocery store and maybe hit him back later and say, look, remember such and such? Because I don't want to see him, because I don't know if he remembers. I'm just being honest. Because what's that called? Guilt. Sometimes that guilt can be on you, because I know you're wrong. I know I did. And I can imagine Peter. He had promised Jesus that, Jesus, I'm going to be with you no matter what happens. I will never leave you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm at your side. And at the first opportunity, Peter did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. He denied Christ. And Peter now has gone back, and he's out there fishing with his homies. But I'm here to tell you, I could imagine that weight was on him. And there might be somebody today that you've done something, and you may be sinned against God, or another person has something, and you go about your life and you do things, and that thing is weighing on you. And Peter can imagine that weight was on him, and then Jesus comes and finds him in an interesting place. I believe Jesus found him where God can find some of us sometime after we make a mistake. See, what happened is, my first point I want you to remember is, I want you to refuse to allow your failures, refuse to allow your things that when you make a mistake, refuse to allow your failures cause you to fall back. What do I mean? I want you to remember what God had called Peter and the disciples to do. He said, I'm going to tell you no longer where Jesus first met them. That's where Peter was, right back where Jesus first met them. Where did Peter, if you look in the passage right here, where did Jesus first call them? In Luke chapter 5, if you go to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, he said Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then go down to verse 3. Stepping into one of the boats, he asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat and taught. He's taught the crowds from there. When he finished speaking, he said, now go out where it's deeper. Let down your nets to catch some fish. Doesn't this sound similar? Doesn't this interaction sound similar? It's the same kind of interaction that's happening in John chapter 21 after Jesus had died. This is where Jesus first met Peter. He met him right where, he's right here. And Peter was a fisherman. And long story short, if you go down in this passage, he said from this point on, if you go down in verse 10, he said, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. God, listen, I want to let you know what sometimes when you make a mistake, when you have a fall, when you have a failure in your life, there's a temptation. God has given you a call on your life. He's put purpose in you. He's called you to do something. But when you drop the ball and you feel like God is disappointed in me, it could cause you to fall back into what you used to do. Today, refuse to allow your failures to lead you to a fallback. Today, sometimes we say, look, I'm going to go back where it's safe. Jesus said, I want you to leave everything in Luke chapter 5. Leave everything. You used to fish for fish. Now I want you to be fishers of men. Follow me. And now Peter, here in John chapter 21, has denied Christ. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go back fishing. God's telling you today, yeah, you dropped the ball, but fail forward. Don't go back. Refuse to allow your failures to lead you to fall back. Don't go back. If God is calling you into more, if he's calling you into something, yes, you dropped the ball. Yeah, you may have sinned. Yeah, you may have fallen, but he's not done with you yet. Because you've fallen, God wants you now to get up, brush yourself off, and go in and do what God has called you to do. So often what we allow our failures to do when we have had a denial like Peter did, Peter denied Christ, we can allow our denial of Christ and our failure to feel like, man, God now is disappointed in me and he can't use me. He doesn't want to use me anymore. No, that's not what he's saying. And then you can go back into playing it safe. I said before, somebody told me that safe is the new risky. Don't play it safe. God called Peter, look, I'm calling you into something that you're not used to. You used to fish for people. Now I want to make you fishers of men. And I love it. They left everything. Look at what Luke said. Luke said they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. And now when he made a fall, he went back and picked up everything that he left. God said, if I told you to leave it there. Because I still got greater for you. He's got greater for you. Today, I'm going to let you know that God is not through with you, and don't allow your failures to call you to fall back into what you was safe. Don't allow your failures to call you to fall back into what you're used to doing. Don't allow your failures to cause you to fall back into what God called you out of. Today, sometimes we fall back into situations and get mired and stuck in relationships that God said, I call you out of that. I'm giving you something greater. Now, yeah, because you messed up, that means I'm not going to use you. Come up out of that. Amen? Refuse, number one. Today, how do you bounce back? Number one, refuse to allow your failures to lead you to a fallback. Today, my question today is, are you walking in the purpose and calling that God has called you to? that God called you to how many ever years ago? I don't know when it was. Or have you found yourself stuck where you used to be? You were moving, you had a fall, you messed up, you dropped the ball, and you say, but man, maybe just stay right here. God said, nope, I'm not done. I want to move forward. Amen? First, refuse to allow your failures to cause you to fall back. But the second point, then how do you bounce back from a fall? How do you bounce back if you've denied Christ? The second thing, you got to receive the refreshment of Christ's restoration and forgiveness. Receive the refreshment of Christ's restoration and forgiveness. Look at verse 9 of our text. Verse 9. They were out there fishing. They were doing what they were used to doing. And you know what? Before I even get to that, not only was Peter doing what Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. And what did the other disciples say? We'll go with you. I'm here to tell you, when you choose to say, look, I'm going to fall back into what I used to do, do you know there are people that you have influence in your life that you can cause them to go back to? Remember, it's not just about you. And sometimes we get in our life, it's just about me. I'm just going to go back to what's safe. I'm going to just go back to that old relationship. I'm just going to go back to that old job. I'm going to go back to whatever it was that God called me out of. You know, when you go back, sometimes you're taking other people back. God has called you to be an influencer. There are people in your life, your children, your spouse, people around you that he's called you to mentor. God said, I've called you for more. And when you go back, you're holding somebody else up. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. And the disciples said, we'll join you. We'll join you. This is what I'm trying to tell you. God is calling us to what? Lead. Every last one of you, if you're called by Christ, he's calling us to lead. He said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Refuse to allow the failure to call you to a fallback, but what you got to do is you got to receive Christ's refreshing restoration and forgiveness. Look at verse 9. It said, when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. But he says, now, in verse 12, it says, now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him who you are. They knew it was the Lord. What God do? Peter was out there fishing, and now what Jesus called and said, look, come on, let me feed you. Let me feed you. He said, look, I'm going to prepare some fish and chips for you. I'm going to prepare good fish. I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't know if it was cornbread. I don't know if it was, but it's nothing like fish and cornbread. Amen? Amen. Brother Derek started clapping. I know that's right. Jesus said, I'm going to make a fish. I love, and see, they didn't have eggs in there. I don't know here the eggs, but I love eggs with my fish. Anybody like that fish and eggs in the morning? Amen. Y'all can tell I ain't had no breakfast yet. So the disciples were out there fishing, and Jesus calls on them, and they said, listen, come on in. I'm going to make breakfast for you. He said, I love it. He said, bring the fish that you've caught. And so Simon, they dragged the fish in. And what God is telling, what I saw in this is what Jesus is doing. He said, look, when you've fallen, I love it. What Jesus did is not the first thing when he gets them. He didn't bring up, Peter, what happened, man? What happened? I thought you said you were going to be there, even though I knew you wasn't. What happened? Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus said, look, come on in. He catches him right where he is and reminds him. I believe that it probably reminded them. He said, ooh, we heard that, but we remember that command. Cast the nets on the other side. Y'all remember when we first, he's giving us clues. It's the master. It's the master meeting us where he first saw us. And that's what I love about Jesus. Even when I fall back, he'll come to me and call me again and remind me, I'm still want to use you. And he said, I'm going to prove it to you. He said, won't you come and see, have food with me? I'm going to prepare. He prepares a table before me. He prepared fish and bread for them and said, let's just sit down and eat together. He didn't even bring it up. Peter knew he denied Jesus. We just dealing with Peter. But Jesus said, look, all y'all going to run. He wasn't the only one who abandoned Jesus. Peter was just bold enough to say, I'm not going to run. But when they came, everybody scattered. Jesus didn't say, where were y'all at? He just said, come on and have breakfast. He prepared the breakfast for the ones who abandoned him. And I'm here to tell you today, if you have denied Christ, what he did on Calvary, see what he did on Calvary, and he rose to cover that already. He rose to cover it. I believe he was telling them, this is why I came. This is why I said, it is finished. It's done. And I'm alive today to let you know a do-over is available for you. A clean slate. You can bounce back, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prepare breakfast for you. Come on and sit down and eat. I ain't mad at you. I'm here to tell you today what Christ is telling you to do is stop beating yourself up. I don't know what you've done. I have no clue. I know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but we probably all in the same boat. What God is telling you to do, don't fall back. But if you have, God is saying, I'm offering you my forgiveness and my love and my restoration. Receive it. And what did the disciples do? Jesus offered it to them. He offered it to them, and they sat down and ate with him. And I love it. And he served them the bread and the fish. The one we denied, the one we turned our backs on, he's still there offering refreshing. You know, they've been working, and he said, I still want to refresh you and give you the nutrients and nourishment that you need. He's here today. Whatever you may have denied him, you may have fallen, but he wants to refresh you and restore you and let you know that he loves you. And he's offering it to you. The question is whether you're going to receive it. Don't walk in guilt. Don't walk in the shame of yesterday. I think that's what Jesus was trying to let them know. Look, y'all, I know you've fallen, but I already knew that already. He's sovereign. I already know. That's why he said he didn't commit much to men, because he knew what was in them already. He said, I already know you didn't have what you need. I know your intentions were good, though, Peter. And because I know, because your intentions were good, you wanted to do the right thing, but you didn't have what you needed. Listen, that's why he said the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking to show himself strong for those who have a heart toward me. You had a heart toward me, but you didn't have what it took to stand. So I just want to let you know, I'm going to refresh you and let you know that forgiveness and restoration is available today. God's forgiveness, Christ covered, the Calvary covered it. That's what we talked about Good Friday. Last Friday was Good Friday, where he died. He died to cover your sins. He was wounded for you. He was bruised for you. He went through all that, and he rose to justify you. My mother said justify always used to. It means that just as if I never sinned. Aren't you glad about that? That today, Dwayne, who sinned yesterday, can stand here just as if I never sinned. That the one who has denied Christ can stand here like there was nothing, I never did anything wrong, because now he did it for me. He covered my sins on Calvary. When he said, it is finished, it is done. And now I can walk in newness of life. The Bible in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. It is he in me, and he's offering me refreshing, restoration, and forgiveness. Today, you can walk in forgiveness. I'm going to tell you, one of the most harmful and dangerous sentiments you can walk in is guilt and shame. When you walk in guilt and shame, do you know how that leaves you bound and locked up and stuck? When you feel like, man, I messed up, and you just, it's like a weight, you get stuck. And until you come to the point where, listen, God, I don't have to walk in that guilt anymore. When somebody has released you, have you ever felt, has anybody been felt guilty like I did when I saw that man and said, recognize that, oh my goodness, I owe that person money. And then when you figure out, look, man, you're good. I didn't even think about that. And when you can have a conversation with that person and the guilt is removed, like, whew, boy, I can walk. You know, like, it'll lock your whole life up. It'll lock your whole life up. And yes, I did have a conversation with that person. Said, brother, you know what? I remember I owe you some money. And I can't utilize your services till I get you here. I got to pay you what I owe you. And he said, look, I wasn't even worried about it no more. But you know what it did? Set me free. Because now there's no guilt. And I'm here to tell you, when you understand, receive the forgiveness of God, that you live in a perpetual state of restoration. You can always have his, the forgiveness is always available. See, when it's with a person, I got to wait and see whether they're going to forgive me. But he's already taken care. He's already forgiven me. Forgive, like he said, his mercy, his steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies always never come to an end. They are new every single morning. So if I messed up yesterday, forgiveness is available today. Aren't you glad about that? You can walk with your head high. You don't have to stay in the pig pen. Like the prodigal son, he was stuck. I messed up. I can't go back home. God is calling somebody to come to themselves today. That's what the prodigal did. He came to himself and said, my father, look, let me go back home. God is calling you home. Why don't you receive the refreshing that God is preparing for you? He said, I'll prepare a meal for you guys. Breakfast, fish and bread. Come and sit and have something to eat. What you got to do today if you want to bounce back from a fall, bounce back is always available. A do-over is always available. The first thing that you got to do, number one, refuse to let your failure lead to a fallback. Number two, receive the refreshment of Christ's restoration and forgiveness. That's one. That's what you got. He's offering that to you. It's available. You got to receive the forgiveness. But the third thing you got to do is renew your commitment to love and serve him. Renew your commitment to love and serve him. It's right here in the text, verse 15. I love what Jesus does. He gives Peter the opportunity to renew his commitment. Verse 15, he said, after breakfast, he ain't say nothing during the meal. Enjoy your meal. I would wonder what the conversation was like around that meal. Can you imagine that? I mean, I know for Peter, it had to be a little bit awkward. Jesus ain't bring it up. So what's going on, fellas? What y'all been up to? Oh, nothing, Jesus. So good to see you. Lord, I'm so glad. It's so good. I could just imagine. They probably didn't even look up during the eating. They probably just had their head down the whole meal. Thank you, Lord. Could you imagine that? And so Jesus lets them get their full. And then even after it's over, he doesn't say, Peter, so what happened? I don't know, have you ever had those conversations where married folks know this. You're at a meal and y'all know you've been out. You, the husbands, you did something wrong. I know, I can testify to that. You did something wrong. And you trying to small talk, you having a good meal, and I said, Lord, I know she going to want to talk about this later. And you eating, and then and later on I said, honey, we need to talk. I'm like, dang, I knew this was coming. So Peter, Jesus comes around, and at verse 15, Peter said, Lord, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I wonder what more than these he's asking about. It could be anything. I wonder, he could have been saying, love me more than these? Do you love me more than your homies? Do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than they? I really don't think that's what he's saying. I think it was significant. You know, that's why one of the things that helps me know the Bible is true. We were talking about that with my kids this morning, how you know the Bible is true. Some of the details in Scripture help me just affirm the validity of Scripture to me. One of the things that I found very interesting, they said 153 fish. You know, it could have been 150. It wasn't a round number. 153. I just find that that's just significant to me. Those off numbers that somebody, because when you go look in this passage, John was writing this, and John was writing, and he had detail. Why? Because he was there. He was there. And that's why he said, I'm writing this so you can know the validity of this. And he said, and I think the passage on two occasions indicated there were 153 fish. Peter's trade was he was a what? Fisherman. And Jesus first thing asked him, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than what you do? These, he says there's 153 fish. Yes, Peter, that was a huge catch. You needed to bring all of the people to bring all of these fish in. And that was a big day for you. But do you love me more than that? Do you have a love for me more than your vocation? Because my calling for you is bigger than that. Do you love me more than these? wasn't your friends. I mean, he already knows it, but I want to know in your heart, it's not about comparing your love for me to anybody else. Do you love me more than the stuff? And that's the question he's asking. Do you love me more than the things that I'm giving you? Because Jesus was the one who made the call for them to put that. He's the one that caused them to get that big haul of fish. Do you love me more than the stuff that I'm able to provide for you? Today, if you've fallen back, well, God has given you an opportunity to renew your commitment to love and serve him. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus told him, feed my lambs. That's one time. Then Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt now. Lord, come on, man. You asked me a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Then he said, feed my sheep. Don't you find it interesting that Peter denied Jesus three times and Jesus gave him three opportunities to declare his love for him? He said, you denied me. You denied me three times, but I'm going to give you three times to renew your commitment to me. To do what? To love and serve me. What does he call? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Serve me. Go and be a fisher of men and lead my people. What God is calling you today, when you look, once you have received his forgiveness and restoration, he now wants you to reaffirm your love for him. Reaffirm your commitment to serve him. And the beautiful thing about it is that Lord Jesus is saying, I still want to use you. Question today is, do you love him more than these? What is it? What are the these? What's the these in your life? For Peter, it was the 153 fish. It was the job. It was the stuff. It was his vocation. Is it your job? Is that the these? Is it your children? What is it that God has provided for you? Is it your house? I don't know. Whatever it is, Jesus is asking, do you love me more than these? And he asked him three times to get it into him, to reaffirm his commitment to him. And today, God wants you to love him more than anything else. And when he has your heart, then he knows that, listen, I can count on you to stand. Today, all of us need a do-over. I don't know about y'all, but I need a do-over. I have fallen on my face on multiple occasions. Anybody there with me? And I've wallowed around in guilt sometimes, and it's amazing how guilt can keep you stuck. There's some people today who have not gone to church in a long time because of guilt. A lot of times, you say, when I know I've heard people say, look, I don't want to be no hypocrite. You don't have to be a hypocrite. Just receive the refreshing of the forgiveness. God already knows we've fallen, but he's ready for you to bounce back. He wants to restore you. He wants to give you a do-over. So our last stop on our road to redemption, we started with denial. Peter denied Christ just like you and I have. That is sin whenever we chose our own way instead of his. That denial necessitated there need to be a death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus had to come to die to cover our denial. But he didn't stay dead. If he had stayed in the grave, it would have been a sad story. But he died to pay for our sin. But he rose again dynamically on Easter morning so that he could, listen, make us right with God. That was our third stop on Easter Sunday. And today, this morning, our fourth stop is the do-over. You can get a do-over today. All of us, every last one of you today, I don't know where it is. I don't know where you've denied Christ, but Jesus Christ died to cover it. He rose again so you could walk in newness of life. Now he's calling you to look, God, receive the refreshing and the restoration and the forgiveness that he's offering you. Come out from among them. Refuse to fall back to what you've used to. And then renew your commitment to love and serve him today so that he can use you mightily And then amazing, when you go and look in Acts chapter 2, the next book, John, when you go and look in Acts, that same Peter who denied Christ, that same Peter who was back on the boat fishing, even though Jesus told him to leave all that behind, if you go and look at Acts, that same Peter is standing before thousands, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not afraid, boldly. And it says in Acts, they could tell that because these men were unlearned, regular men, they must have been with Jesus because of the passion that they had. And today, God can do the same thing in your life if you just receive the refreshing that he's made available to you. Amen? Can you stand with me this morning? A bounce back, a do-over, redemption, restoration. I love it. The Winest has a song, Restoration Has Finally Come. Y'all remember that song? I've been restored to my place in God. I thank God for restoration. And today he's offering it. It's available to you. Whether you're here, whether you're at home, I don't know what it is. You may be walking around with guilt on your shoulder that's weighing you down for something that you've done in your past. God said, listen, I don't want you to walk in that. Why walk in it when I sent Jesus to cover it already? Walk in the newness of life and the forgiveness that he's made available to you. Will you pray with me today? Will you pray with me? I said all of us have denied Christ in some area of our lives. I want to talk to two people right now. I want to give two people opportunity. Number one, I want to give somebody an opportunity who's never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior initially for the first time. You've been just trying to do life on your own terms. You're a person that said, look, I'm just trying to be a good person. I'm trying to live in such a way that at the end of my life, I hope my good outweighs my bad, and then one day God will accept me. I'm here to tell you that's not how it works. God loves you and has a plan for your life, and he wants a relationship with you. He wants to live with you forever. He wants to give you abundant life and eternal life. But all of us, he wants that for us, but that was broken when man sinned against God. The Bible said by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on to all of us. So in order for you to have that relationship, God had to do something. So what he did, the Bible in John 3:16 said, God sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'd like to receive that life that God has made available to you through his son, Jesus Christ, first you got to admit to God that you're a sinner separated from him. You got to believe that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to cover and pay for your sins. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die to pay for your sin. God sent a gift of himself, Jesus, God with us. He lived so that he could qualify to be the sacrifice for your sins. He lived and he died. He was buried, but God, listen, he was God, so the grave couldn't hold him. He rose to make you right with him. And what you got to do first is admit to God, I'm a sinner. It means I'm not perfect. I have sinned against you. Believe that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for you, that he was buried and rose again, and then choose to invite him as Savior and Lord of your life. If you've never done that today, if you haven't done that, I'm gonna tell you, the position you stand in, if you've never done that, you're at odds with God. You are separated from him, and he wants a relationship with you. And in order for you to have that relationship, you gotta make a decision to accept him as Lord of your life today. If you'd like to accept Christ as Lord of your life today, I want you to just pray this prayer after me. It's a simple ABC prayer. There's no magic in the words. It's the magic in the attitude of your heart. I want you to say this after me at home or in here. If you'd like to accept Christ as Lord, say this. Just say to the Lord silently to him, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, and I believe he was buried and rose again to make me right with you. Today, I choose to invite Christ, the Savior and Lord of my life, to make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. That if you meant that, congratulations, that means you've accepted Christ as Lord of your life. And what that means is he says, listen, I will forgive you of all your sins. I will give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. If you meant that, amen. But now you need somebody to help you walk in that new relationship. So please let us help you walk through that. If you could, do me this favor. I'm going to give you two things you can do. Either text the word NEXT to 301-804-2520. Text the word NEXT, 301-804-2520. Go to your messages. Send the message. The message you're going to send is NEXT to that number. You can do that or go to the website, encounterchurch.net/next, and indicated you made a decision to trust Christ today. Amen. The final thing I want to talk to somebody who said, look, Pastor, I need a do-over. I got some things in my life that I've done that I've been wallowing in guilt. I know forgiveness is available, but I've been walking in this shame and this guilt. And today God has convicted me. You said, listen, God had called me to something and I made some mistakes and I've gone backwards. I've instead of moving forward, I've gone backwards and I'm stuck where what he called me out of. And I know he's calling me out of that. And he wants me to walk in the forgiveness and restoration that is available. If that is you and you say, Pastor, today I want to renew my commitment to love and serve him. If that's you, if you're here, I want you to prop up your hand. If you're home, I want you to indicate it right there on that link right there. Amen. I see that hand. Encounterchurch.net/next. That's you at home. You say, look, I recommit my life. I want you to indicate that right there. I recommit my life. I recommit my life. If you're watching, if you're in the chat somewhere, say, look, I want to recommit my life. You can put it right there. Facebook, YouTube, wherever. Amen. I see that hand. If you're here, say, Pastor, I need a bounce back. I need a do-over. I want to renew my commitment to love and serve him today. If you're in the sanctuary, won't you raise your hand? I want to pray with you and for you right where you are. Anyone else? I want to renew my commitment to love and serve him. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for a do-over. Thank you for a clean slate. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. God, great is your faithfulness. And forgive us, God. Thank you for the forgiveness that is available to us on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. And today, I come with those, God, who say we need a do-over. Forgive us, God, for when we have denied you. And forgive us, God, for when we haven't come to you and we've held on to the shame and the guilt. And thank you, Lord God, that, Lord God, you have covered it. Christ came to cover it. So God, today we come to receive your refreshing. We come to receive your forgiveness. And for those who raised their hand and said to renew their commitment to you, fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill them with your power so that they might walk in obedience to what you've called them to do. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give our King a hand of praise as you have your seat? Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Before we close, give us an opportunity to give to our God and our King who's been so good to us. The God who's given us a do-over, who's given us an opportunity to bounce back. We have an opportunity. Like he said, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the stuff that I'm able to provide for you? And our giving is an opportunity for us to show God. It's a way that we express our love to God, by giving. Whether we can show God that we love him more than these, and these dollars in our pockets or in our bank accounts. God, yes, we love you more than these. And we're going to show you, because we're going to give them back to you. And we're going to bless you. We're going to bless you with our resources. And we're going to trust you to blow on it, Lord, and trust you to provide for us, and trust you to pour out a blessing in our lives that we might not have room enough to receive. Why? For the advancing of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. This time at home, you can see on the screen how you can give. Cash App, you can give via Cash App. You can give right on the church website right there. You can text the word give to 301-804-2520 as well. Amen. Amen.